The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. For those of you joining us for the first time, RPG From Scratch is where the homebrew hombres, Doug Banks, Liam Malone, Max Wessel, and myself, Josh LaForge, try to build a tabletop RPG that satisfies everything we want, whether that's character creation, combat mechanics, or role-playing opportunities. Our goal is to turn this eventually into a live play podcast once we've settled upon the rules. If you have any suggestions or criticisms for what we're cooking up, please post them on our page on the Nerdy Show forum. We will be checking it regularly. Hello, nerdy people and the nerd curious. This is RPG From Scratch, a podcast about four geeks who enjoy the tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons and Shadowrun, but haven't found the one that fits just right. So we're going to build one and unleash it on the world. I'm your host, Josh LaForge, and with me are my homebrew hombres, Liam Malone.
Orcs.
Max Wessel.
Hey.
And Doug Banks.
Generic human.
This is our third episode. In the previous two episodes, we have decided on a few things. The mechanics of melee weapons. Mm-hmm. We know that blunt weapons hit more often and do more reliable damage. Axe weapons have a regular chance to hit and high crit damage. Swords have the lowest chance to hit but crit most often. And also, we've decided upon what a player's turn consists of. It's a free action, a positioning action, a combat action, a character action.
I really like that.
I like it too.
Character action was good.
Movement speed, we're sticking to the standard, 6 squares.
Yeah, it just...
It's a 1-inch by 1-inch grid.
It's
right?
Not been the thing that I've found a problem with, so...
And we're still enjoying our momentum system, which is you dole it out as XP, mm-hmm. you reference it as the rating for a monster or the difficulty, you use it for in-game bonuses to rolls, and it is a reward for good character moments.
And I think it also, again, it... The thing that I'm going to harp on the most, my job in this RPG is like the idea that you're telling a story should always be in the back of your mind. And momentum, I think, helps that thematically.
I think so, too. So we can focus because I don't want to bake in role playing mechanics that you have to do a certain thing. But if we incentivize it enough, I think that's all that matters. Right. People will just do it.
That was the idea of the character action.
Yeah. I have two major things I want to talk about today, and I need you guys' help with. We're going to talk about the base races that we start off with, mm-hmm. because we believe there should be a mechanical benefit to picking a certain race.
To add diversity to gameplay.
And also to flavor any specific set of skills you pick. If somebody else were to pick them and pick a different race, it'd be a different take on the class or
and
path.
It might veer you in a very different direction.
And we want to talk about the basic paths, the most fundamental ones that you'd want to start with in a fantasy setting. So I got a few notes. I looked through the base races of other role-playing systems, and they really all kind of follow the D&D model, with rare exception. I think the exceptions would be like Gamma World.
Yeah. And even those base ones are Tolkien-esque mm-hmm. in a lot of ways.
I think we're going to veer away from Tolkien in a different way. That's what Max was talking about.
In the best way, I would say, hopefully.
So I've got an idea, and I want to hear you guys' ideas too, but I was thinking, what if we think of it from the idea of different environments? This is what I got. I got land, water, air, and underground. And we pick two races from each because 8 is a good number of starting races. So the ones I have, these are just suggestions. We can change them to whatever we want. Land, I was thinking humans and orcs. And then water, I was thinking like Atlanteans and crocodiles.
Atlanteans crocodile people. Are my shit.
Air would be some kind of avian race, as well as, I was thinking, a bat people, where it would satisfy people who want to play like a vampire race, but they're not actually vampires.
Yeah.
Nosferatu looking.
Exactly. Or just maybe thematically, visually fill in there, and you give them like cool little bonuses that make them more akin with bats. And underground, I have dwarves, of course.
Fuck yeah.
And bugs. I don't know what kind of bug people.
Well, let's talk about
bugs. All right, I already want to get rid of bugs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not because I hate bugs, just because I want goblins.
I hate bugs.
I want goblins bad.
You want goblins to live underground?
I want goblins bad, man. Because I love little...
So I'm thinking for each of these, it's one race and their enemy.
Yeah.
Right? So... So dwarves versus goblins, not dwarves versus bugs?
Yeah.
Okay, and then airs, avians versus bats, humans versus orcs, Atlanteans versus crocodiles.
Yeah, that works.
The goblins.
We haven't had We haven't had the conversation.
Crocodiles are kind of land animals, too. Shouldn't it be like sharks?
That's a good idea, Doug.
Shark people?
But they're both fish. I don't know.
Ruled by Atlantis.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I was thinking even that when we're talking about like water-based situations, something even marshlands, I think, are more water than land.
Yeah. Well, I mean, crocodiles don't live on the land.
Can I input a point of awesome here? What if it was an invasion of something else, like coming into the ocean instead of two ocean things?
But also we can add other races. I think we're talking about a basic
mechanic.
We're talking
about starting races. Like if you have four different things here, what are the potential starting races based on your personal tastes?
To make these things something that we care about, we're gonna have to do some minor world building right now. Yeah. So I was thinking for the Atlanteans is what if they were like humanoid fish people, but we get rid of Atlantis. So like I was thinking, what if these people are the proxy for elves because they are high status, magical culture, very smart, and maybe even immortal, but they show up on the shore because of some kind of disaster that wiped out their home world. We don't have to call it Atlantis. We can call it something else. But I was thinking, what if it's like Big O style? Nobody knows who they were before it happened. Nobody remembers what this place looked like. And any powers or abilities they get is because they're remembering.
Mm-hmm.
Like little,
oh, that's interesting.
Like amnesia is failing.
Yeah, well, I was already in favor of it didn't matter where they were coming before, but they would just be like a coastal coral kind of situation. Because you do want to make sure whatever creatures you pick or races you get, they need to be able to operate on land.
Yeah.
Or like as soon as you said shark people, I was like, eh, that sounds awkward on land. Crocodile people, I'm like, fuck yeah.
Well, I was thinking that's because D&D 4th edition has dragonborn.
Yeah.
Before that, everybody has always liked lizard people. And what if this is a... we don't call them crocodile people, but they don't look like walking crocodiles. Mm-hmm. They just are like a dragonborn or a lizard person. They're amphibious. Well, I guess
the humanoid
crocodiles aren't amphibious, are they? I don't think they're amphibians. I think they're lizards.
Yeah, I don't think they count as amphibians.
Yeah, they're reptiles.
They're reptiles. Okay.
Reptiles. Yeah.
What if the Atlanteans were like an amalgam of the sea peoples who just fucked up like Egypt and all the cultures?
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the ancient one
that
we don't know anything about?
Probably didn't exist.
Everybody references them.
Yeah.
Even the Egyptians. But it was just like a group of people in the Mediterranean.
That's what I was thinking. That's where I had the idea for it, and we don't know where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if they didn't know where they came from either?
That would be cool. But I would say instead of like showing up on a shore, if they showed the fuck up.
And then, because we're going to be talking about races, I also think we're going to talk about their culture and real life things that we're going to draw on for them.
Well, also, I do want to get into their mechanical bonuses.
Yes.
Like the reasons they're included at all.
Now that we're like solidifying our top eight,
mm-hmm.
MySpace. The idea that
hey guys, welcome to 2006.
Yeah, I know.
Podcasting is new, and Liam made some MySpace reference.
I made a MySpace reference. All right,
please put our podcast in your top eight.
We were talking about them taking the place of elves, and elves kind of always fit in the classical antiquity. They're supposed to be Romanesque,
right?
Especially high elves or Greek-esque. And if they're coastal people who don't really know where they came from or what lineage of empire they had, mm-hmm. they kind of fit more into that space, that cultural space.
Yeah, and well, the reason why I said I didn't want Atlantis to be a thing is only because it puts them on the same level as everybody else.
Yeah.
Like where if some doom came to them and now they're refugees, but they're still high status, you know, and they all have hidden secrets and stuff, that still kind of keeps them in the same...
Also, Atlantis comes with a lot of bad baggage.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep Atlantis, not with the name Atlantis.
I was thinking it'd be similar to Valyria.
Yeah.
Like you would find their relics and shit.
I'm just saying, you gave me an idea when you said the doom. What if they were so boastful and prideful that the doom was the amnesia?
Oh, and maybe it's actually out there and they're all looking for it?
Yeah, they don't remember where they know they came from somewhere, but I think their pride could have been, it didn't have to be their city sunk. Some magicians got together and was like, boom, you've forgotten everything, now what do you do?
That's a cool idea.
I don't think we need to decide what the doom is.
Well, leave it up to the DM, but
leave it up to the DM, or as we write modules, because we're probably going to end up doing that, that can be a character or a plot point we get to explore and have fun with at the time.
Now, if we're shifting away from Tolkien, I was thinking orcs. How do we make them different to where they really are their own thing, separate?
Rather than just being barbarians.
Yeah, what if they were more like a gorilla? So you know how gorillas have the giant teeth like orcs do? What if they're like gorillas, they live in the forest, they travel in family groups, they're very community-oriented, that kind of thing, but they will rip your arms out of your sockets, you know, if something were to go wrong.
So they're not like Germanic pillaging hordes or whatever.
I was thinking, I really like the flavor of hobgoblins.
Mm-hmm.
When I cook them and eat them.
So they're kind of like Wookiees.
Right. Well, hobgoblins in D&D lore are more like ancient Rome. Like they're early Rome. They just started to organize. They're beginning their first military culture. What if that's the idea? And then humans who live a little bit of a softer life, you know, out in the open, not in the woods, are just starting to come up against organized small groups of orcs. And that puts them on opposite sides.
Like the first warlords and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I would think it's even more organized than that. It's like think of orcs like a group of Spartans. Like
yeah.
From the movie 300. Yeah. You know,
there was once only one city state of organized orcs, and now they're like, all right, we're going to start conquering the other ones.
Right.
And now we're an organized almost nation.
So they were savage, just like humans were savage, but now an organized city state of them has happened, and they have a full culture now. That's not just roving bandits.
Could we
and stuff.
Put in a little more Mongol influence than?
Well, we're gonna
pep,
that's a good
gonna,
idea
we're
too.
Gonna
I like
it.
That.
Yeah.
Well, I like.
Kind of reminds me of the Fox and the Ox. Actually.
Yeah. Actually, well, I like the idea of orcs being merit based more than anything else.
Yeah.
Still works for me. Whereas humans are gonna be more cultural, political. They're gonna be like, no, if you can do a thing, like you are now the best at that thing. You're mm-hmm. in charge of that thing.
I like that. I do like them being more militaristic than. Barbarous,
goal oriented,
yeah, exactly,
simplistic,
but organized,
yeah.
I think that's a little more fun, but they're still more wild and more feral, but they've got their shit together finally, and it's
more like Klingon or Krogan before they
Klingon's a good that's I like that too. Klingon,
because I mean they're organized, Klingons are like
how do these fuckers get to space?
Yeah, they're too busy stabbing each other in the back to get anything done.
Yeah. Although it would be fun to play an orc version of Gowron.
Oh, dude, it'd be fun to play an orc version of Worf.
Everybody's going to want to be Worf.
I always want to be Worf.
But humans...
Always be Worf.
Humans, I think, need to stand as the most versatile of all of them.
I like them as a baseline because then that allows the most sympathy the farther along you get. If that's your middle ground, then you know where everyone else stems from.
And you can kind of judge like the size of other creatures and what they are because you have that baseline.
Yeah. If you say, oh, they're stronger than the average human, then you have a general idea.
Yeah. So
we are humans, so it's easy to understand.
And I was thinking orcs would be shamanistic but militaristic. I was thinking shamanistic more like they rely on oracles like the ancient Greeks and stuff like that.
I would say let's... Yeah, give them that kind of Etruscan, early Roman gods of war kind of thing.
Cool. All right, what about my problem
with the avian race?
Yeah, okay, let's hear it.
Are they going to be magically able to fly, or are they going to be able to fly because their bones weigh nothing?
I think they can't fly unless
they should be able to glide.
Well, I think maybe you get you don't take as much falling damage,
mm-hmm.
something like that. But I was thinking you can't fly unless you take the path for your specific race, and then you get things. I was thinking,
because looking at it from here,
like a Paragon race path.
Yes,
for world building, the bats. I just the flying men from Flash Gordon fighting bats.
Gordon's alive.
That would be the coolest fucking thing. They're men with wings.
Right. Yeah, but humans with wings is boring.
What's that, Doug?
Humans with wings is boring.
They're not humans with wings.
That's what I'm saying. Let's not do that.
That would be. Awesome to me, those specific humans with wings.
The way I was actually envisioning them is just like birds on the path to humanity through evolution.
Yeah,
or like they were.
That's what
they
I was
were
thinking,
birds.
Yeah.
They were flying.
They're flightless birds.
And now they're just. They can glide a little. They hop around. It's still useful, but it's becoming more vestigial for them.
If you pick a dragonborn, you can pick a paragon path that allows you to grow wings for certain things. And you gain a fly speed and stuff like that. But I was thinking, what if like a racial bonus, one of their racial bonuses is that the avian race once per encounter can like leap, but double their speed, something like that, where it's like short flight where they just flap their elbows, I guess.
Yeah.
And then
what if instead of like, because we're worried about wings and stuff, if these are like creatures that have learned, they're sort of acting more like humans, if they have instead of straight up wings, they have like what would you call them? Like sort of glider feathers that connect their arm to their torso.
Oh, well, I was thinking of that too. Instead of being like angelic,
yeah, because that would and that would like slow your fall, so you'd take less fall damage.
Well, you think about it from the avian point of view. Until they get to grow wings as part of some kind of path they take.
Also,
why wouldn't the bonus just be that their bones are hollow? That's why they can leap further.
They could sneak better. They could sneak better with light. You know, if they're lightweight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, I mean, there's evidence to suggest that in reality, before dinosaurs could fly, they would glide, like they would crawl up a tree and then jump off and glide and then coast to the ground.
Right.
And that eventually led to eventually led to them running really fast and then jumping in the air and then taking off and flying. So it makes sense if on this evolutionary path, everything like they were gliders, not really flyers.
What if there's different paths too? Like you could have an upper class that does have wings or fly, based on how far you can go or something like that.
I think introducing it as a path or a race specific path,
mm-hmm.
I think handles a lot of that. You know what I mean? Where if you really want to go down that road, you can.
Cool. What about bats? Let's talk about the bats.
Yeah, they could have a lot of bonuses like low light vision, echolocation,
sonar.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Good hearing.
Smell.
Do bats smell well?
Some of them do. Some of them got huge nostrils, like huge. Huge noses.
Yeah, but do they? I don't know them. Are they known for their smell? I'm not. I don't know enough about bats.
I think fruit bats do.
Okay, but they don't have huge noses. They look like foxes.
There's also heat sensors. You know, like they sense the warmth.
Mm-hmm.
How big are these bats?
Well, I think they're humanoid.
Humanoid bats. Okay.
Right. So they look like either Nosferatu or.
I was thinking they'd be slender too.
I was thinking of them as a proxy for like the tiefling.
Yeah.
Race, you know what I mean? Where the tiefling is like a demon, right? So this will be like the vampire.
Okay.
So there's a gamut. They run a full gamut of how humanoid or how bat-like they look.
So like between 2.5 to 3 meters kind of bat creature.
I think not 3 meters. That's way too big. I don't think anybody's that big in this. I think the tallest will probably be the Atlanteans.
Okay.
Which we should pick up a new name for.
Yeah. Oh, I would say the orcs.
Orcs would be a little taller, yeah.
Reared up would be tall. But they're
now here's the other thing. You're talking about if these are sort of like the tiefling surrogate, this is suggesting caves. Cave suggests underground, And if they, depending on how they evolved, if they were...
I think a small percentage of bats live in caves.
Yeah.
Most of them live in trees. And
also, by live there, they mean sleep.
Yeah.
Most of their time is spent, eating above ground. In the air.
I just think monkeys live in trees. We don't live in trees.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like
the image of these bat people going to war with the dwarves sounds pretty awesome.
That does sound awesome because they would have an advantage for going underground.
That will happen. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Because then where do the goblins go? But goblins don't have to be underground either. So
They feel right underground for me.
Well, do we just need somebody to oppose the dwarves? And goblins are good. I was thinking bugs. Bugs would be fun. Because I was thinking...
What if we flip it? So what if the bugs are the flying baddies and the bad
then
people
where are, my goddamn
are the
goblins?
Cave baddies? Goblins can just be one of the other races on the land or one of the other races underground.
Eventually.
We're just trying to see how we can make this different. We're just talking about starter characters to paint the world a certain way. Like, how is ours different from everything else? If we throw goblins in there, they're like, well, dude, there's goblins in D&D. And like, well, yeah, there's goblins here too, but
they're not
here's
starting
something
race.
Better.
There's, you could do orcs and dwarves, right?
A cool bonus I thought of for for a bug race was that if anything that you're required to have a hand free... You do, even if you're wielding a two-handed weapon, because you're an insect.
You get little tiny hands
in the middle.
They can, help guide your sword.
You just have a torch out at all times.
Or you can physically hold more things, but you can only wield in combat the normal number.
Because you have two main hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or your daily is you just shed your exoskeleton skin, and it's a decoy.
That shit would be dope.
Or an AC bonus for exoskeleton, or... there's a lot of... The bugs are awesome, and there's a lot of things.
The armor upgrades you can get as a bug.
That's why I was thinking bugs
would be
fun.
If you're like a giant bug person, you're like a freaking tank, Or you're like a grasshopper or something.
But I have the idea
cool
of
shit.
The orcs. I was
but are they
about.
Are they a unified bug race, or are they like a...
I think it should be
unified.
Unified in the sense that they are insects, that they have the same number of limbs. But you could pick like a clan or something that's different within.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that seems way more in depth. those.
Well, think about humans. I mean, just think of the races of humans that you can.
Yeah.
And their cultural.
Yeah.
You know, assumptions.
Yeah, I don't think the hive.
I want to see the bug wars. I want to see the grasshopper people versus the dung beetle people.
I was thinking,
the more we're talking about bugs, the more I want it to be its own module.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking bugs versus dwarves underground sounds awesome.
Can
to
we
me.
Do orc Starship Troopers?
I think they did that.
Did they?
Well, no. There was a fanfic. Troopers. There was a fanfic about in 40K these two orcs that kill a space marine, and they both put on space marine armor and just pretend to be space marines. But fan art of them, it's so ridiculous because their heads are way too big. So they're just
wearing them as hats.
Yeah, they tied the helmets onto their heads as hats, and they're just like following behind him. Like, I hope he doesn't notice. You
know? That's awesome.
For the Emperor.
But then somebody was like, yeah, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? And the first comment I saw about that was just somebody's like, is they shooting? It's like, no. Is they on their way to war? Oh, it's like, no, it's like, then they's mucking about.
But our orcs, I imagine, with tower shields and Roman helmets standing in a line.
Yeah, yeah.
Phalanx style.
Let me look up the hobgoblin thing real quick.
Just excited by that image in my brain. I like orcs.
Elder Scrolls orcs, I love.
See, this is the D&D version of the hobgoblin. There we go. So the D&D version of a hobgoblin I really like, and I think that could be what is more like our orcs.
I dig the flag.
Yeah, you have standard bearers and stuff like that.
I love the idea of these, what do they call them? What races in D&D? The goblins and orcs and...
Goblinoids?
When you want to play that campaign.
Oh, savage races.
Savage races.
Well,
we called it that.
But I love the idea of savage races coming into civilization.
Yeah, like
and doing it
entered
yeah.
the...
And doing it in a different way.
Yeah.
And some of it is more effective.
That idea just... makes me happy.
Or just the idea.
I got an idea for the water people. Yeah. So you got these. All right. So these quote unquote Atlanteans are the one race.
You can call them merfolk.
Merfolk. Whatever you want. Whatever, man. We got the one.
We'll call. Race. We'll figure that out in a second, actually.
And we're not quite sure. Like crocodile sort of reptile one thing. What about terrapins?
Terrapins.
Turtles.
Turtles.
Like turtle people, but like badass. Like those like are... the, like. Like,
I mean, like,
how,
like maybe if they were ninjas,
yeah,
and they
like
get
that.
In there
yeah,
like by,
saying,
in their teenage years. That's perfect. Yeah. Max just pulled up a picture of Abe Sapien for the Mer people.
Oh, yeah.
This is very close to what I was thinking. Yeah.
And if you have that versus like these giant turtle people who have huge shells, who are like the minotaurs of the ocean,
like alligator snapping turtles.
Yeah. Like these bigger, more ferocious stuff.
Can I talk to you about that?
That still just seems so like that seems secondary to me. That seems auxiliary.
But like the cave trolls that the goblins have, like that kind of thing.
No, that would be those.
Yeah, that's
they
what
would
I mean.
Ride them.
Like I definitely love the idea of that, and I think we should put it in there as like the cave troll equivalent.
I think. The reason why I keep thinking of the crocodile people is because I want a savage race
and also want
equivalent.
I want lizard folk.
Although I'm looking at these pictures of alligator snapping turtle and they're so
badass.
They are fucking crazy.
Jesus, they're mean looking.
That but then the only thing is party? That's a monster.
Yeah,
that's a monster.
I think
that
should be an underwater monster. How about that?
Good idea, Doug.
I'm just trying to think of what's a good ocean baddie.
I'm still all in favor of crocodile lizard folk.
What about
I'm like, so for.
I like that too. Well, I mean, because neither of these should be the bad guy. Right?
Oh yeah, no.
Like that's the idea is that they are enemies
also,
to each other.
It's also weird. I want the crocodile people to be like Egyptian-y.
That's not a bad
flavored
idea.
Flavored Egyptian-y.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I was thinking shamanistic. Classic, they wear feathers and stuff, but that's a good idea.
Classic
too.
Greece versus Egypt, in a way.
That would be cool.
And then
I was also thinking like iguana, but I like the idea of the Egyptian crocodiles.
Humans are probably going to be like the most basic fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of English versus.
Yeah, I was thinking for the crocodile, like swamp shamans, you know, mm-hmm. with feathers and stuff. But I think I like the Egyptian version better.
Have fun with history, guys. Just have fun with it.
Can they draw crocodiles with human heads?
I think more
yes,
humanoid.
That would be hilarious.
Oh, that's
their
yeah,
gods.
Okay,
their gods
saying.
Would just be a little more human
or orc.
I don't know. I kind of like the bug people, but I'm for goblins. But should they be a base race? That's the thing.
I love goblins, but if no one else is feeling it, that's fine. The thing about the bug races, now as soon as...
Mechanically, they add some cool stuff.
As soon as Doug said grasshopper people, I immediately stopped thinking of the bug people as an individual race and more as an empire with like ant legions, and then there's grasshopper scouts, mm-hmm. and then they have like dung beetle or rhinoceros beetle. Like I immediately
shit rhinoceros beetles.
I saw a whole pack that you would add on of just an empire with a bunch of extra different races that are all bug people. They all mm-hmm. that all function in a society.
So what if we just pick one specific kind of bug for this?
Ants would be the one to go with.
Yeah, I think so. For specifically, because underground
and also right. and also communal. They're yeah. social.
Well, versus dwarves, they would meet yeah. each other more often than.
Would they be anthropomorphic? Like the what was that movie about
ants?
Was it Ants?
It's called yeah. Ants with a Z.
Ants with
it's
a Z.
It's a Woody Allen movie.
Woody Allen, yeah.
Co-starring Sylvester Stallone.
And they have like the warriors.
And Gene Hackman.
But then they use
and
like,
Gene, God, what a weird movie.
There's like wood mites and stuff that they fight or something crazy. Whatever, termites
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, they were termites.
So I think they should be more humanoid than those
yes.
than those ants.
Really, then those ants were very humanoid.
Yeah, but I think they should have similar proportions to people. But I was thinking, what if they're smaller than dwarves? Because they would be the only one that is a small race.
Can they still lift 10 times their
weight? Yes.
I think they don't take any strength
negatives.
Penalties
yeah.
at all. Like they can still hold everything because they've got four arms. And
I was just saying it'd be neat to have the smallest race also be the strongest.
I think it's just
strongest.
I think it is the strongest relative to its size.
Yeah.
How about that? That works.
That works.
Okay. That works for me.
So let's do
and
ants.
Let's literally call them ants with a Z.
Ants.
Because then you could have an ant barbarian. Like
yeah.
can you have a guy or a gnome barbarian?
Yeah. Yeah, you may have known barbarian. It would just suck.
Yeah, but an ant barbarian
I've
wouldn't be too bad.
No more.
I just sent you a link to Wikipedia or a Star Wars wiki or whatever for the Kilix, which are those
yeah,
bug-like
I
races
remember them.
From Alderaan. Decent. There's more decent art if you scroll down to the Old Republic section. I think like there's like a profile shot that looks pretty good.
But even Kilix are less anthropomorphic than I'd like.
Right, but I'm just saying like you can go
actually,
in that
you know
direction.
What? This is pretty good. If you can make them small,
I wish you would send them just a picture of Alderaan exploding.
Something like that would be
okay.
good.
Yeah.
yeah, but smaller than a dwarf. So like gnome size.
Oh,
I would almost, well,
so we're going full thorax and everything.
But I would almost think, especially if they're elongated like that, they'd just be roughly the same height. But again, dwarves are like
big.
Meaty.
Yeah.
And the ants wouldn't be.
Well, I was just thinking for size bonuses. For the purpose of size
mm-hmm.
and bonuses and penalties and stuff, gnomes and goblins
are considered small. But goblins can use medium weapons.
Well, can't gnomes as well?
I don't think so.
Oh. Well, I was thinking, what if we pick a small race? That could be the smallest one, right? But they would be gnome size, not ant size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a gnome sized ant would be terrifying.
Yes, it would.
You know, would not okay. want to be anywhere near it.
You know, this would be nuts, and this would be changing the dynamic of pretty much everything we've just been talking about. But if the default villains of the world were all the insect kinds, you'd have the flying insects, you'd have the ground insects, you'd have like the insects that could
that
swim.
Sounds like Halo.
Yeah, but it's also, for me, that's too cut and dry for a setting.
I don't think there should be a default
yeah,
villain.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For a setting that's too default for a campaign, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just get the idea of like an earthworm as a monster, a giant earthworm. Could you cut it in half and then both parts just wriggle towards you?
That'd be cool.
I like the idea of that. So we're doing the insect
so,
race,
okay,
right?
Earthworm race. We're doing, that's
no.
canon.
Ugh.
Earthworm Jim.
So orcs are like a little more bugbear-y.
Bugbear. I think hobgoblin is the closest thing I was thinking of.
Well, I'm just saying in appearance, if they're going to be a little
yeah, they
ape-like.
Have they have
yeah.
they have their arms are a little more simian. So let's think of bonuses, right? So we've only got four attributes
mm-hmm.
that we've talked about, right? I mean, other than defenses
and but we have eight races.
Yes.
So there's an obvious divide that we should do.
There is.
Two races get a bonus to each of the stat.
Okay.
That makes
well, I was thinking
balanced, and if you there's no stat where if you have a path or a class or a goal that you meet, you're not limited to one race that's immediately better.
Right. Now in D&D, they make half elves the best at multiclassing.
Yes.
I think that should be humans in this one. So maybe instead
with,
of
but with our path system, do we want anyone who's best at multiclassing?
When I say best at multiclassing, I was thinking, what if in addition to the standard take two steps down one path or mm-hmm. one step down two paths that everybody gets, they get three instead of two.
Okay.
That's it. Instead of getting a racial ability that everybody else gets, they get that.
Yeah. They get a thing that anyone else can get.
Yes.
But they always have one more.
So let's think, what about, let's see, what are our four stats? We've got might, intelligence, dexterity, and it was a charisma slash wisdom influence, right? Was that it?
I think it was. Was it influence?
I don't know if we named them.
I like that, though.
Okay. So if we have might, intelligence, dexterity, and influence, let's say we might need 5 stats.
All right. What would be the other one you were looking for?
Something for health, but like constitution, you know?
That could be...
Because how physically strong you are.
It doesn't,
are.
Yeah, it doesn't make
yeah,
you...
Yeah, it's not...
It doesn't as, make you tough.
Right. Toughness?
Resistance, maybe? Toughness works.
Toughness. Because then...
That just broke my other idea, though.
What was your other idea?
The idea of having... We have 8 starting races, 4 stats. That's super easy to divide.
Yeah, but I mean, consider the fact that we're going to be adding more races later. You know, it's not. We don't have
True.
To make it be perfect because that.
I just I liked the elegance of the idea of having 2 races for every stat that you can go do immediately. We're like, oh, I want to do this. It uses this stat. What are my immediate choices?
What if we just added 2 more base races?
Go to 10,
and then 5 would divide.
We can go to 10. That might not be too. I mean, we haven't talked about deserts or mountains or steppe.
Cool. Like,
there are other locations or Arctic.
So I'm thinking, okay, let's say orcs be +1 might, +1 dexterity.
So just generally physically imposing.
Yeah, but they're not tougher than humans.
When you prick them, they still bleed.
Yeah. So Atlanteans would be intelligence and influence. Crocodiles would be might and toughness. Avians would be dex.
Definitely dex. Probably influence.
Dex and influence, I like that. Bats would be tough and influence.
We're using influence too much?
Not anymore. Dwarves would be might.
Toughness, definitely.
No, sorry, tough and...
Dexterous. I know that seems counterintuitive.
I think intelligence.
Really? Okay, that works too.
Because they're industriousness.
I like that, giving them intelligence instead of making them... Scottish drunks.
Yeah.
Well, also, they're like Scottish drunks who make all of the best stuff.
All right, what are we missing?
But the Atlanteans, are they... Is influence a good one to give the Atlanteans?
Well,
Or would they be aloof?
What influence is not a stat about like how influential you
are.
No, you're
like charisma. You know,
yeah.
Charisma,
well, I say Atlanteans because they have kind of, they're regal. You know what I mean?
Okay, because you were saying wisdom and they don't know anything about where they came
yeah,
from.
Yeah, I meant
okay.
Influence in the sense that like if you were to roll intelligence to hit with a spell, you would roll influence to see how much damage it does because of how you presented it.
Okay, I like that. Did we get a...
I think the ant should be +1 to might and +1 to...
Toughness? No.
Dexterity.
Yeah.
No, because that makes them like orcs.
Would they need might? The fact that they're just level and small.
Could they just be +2 to might?
Wouldn't that be fun, though? If they're
make
stronger?
Make them small and have them +2 to might?
+2 might be game-breaking. Because, because of the way we're doing the system, we're not doing... 10 base it's whatever you have in that adds directly to your roll.
I would almost say like that would be fun, but also it seems like we're using might a lot, and I want to make sure there's a good.
We've only used might on orcs and crocodiles.
Yeah, but there's 5 stats and 8 races, so you don't even get to use.
What have we used?
2 is the max.
Intelligence we've only used twice. So we've used twice. We've used dex. Intelligence. We've used toughness 3 times.
Really? Fuck.
Mm-hmm. And influence we've used twice. Might, tough, influence, dex, and intelligence. Yeah, we've already used everything at least twice.
Okay.
So why don't we just say give them what we want? So might
right.
and
I was saying toughness.
Well, that's what the crocodiles have.
Okay.
So say might and dex, because they have 4 hands. No, because that makes them like it works.
Yeah.
What about influence?
Pheromones.
Might and influence, because they can convince. They're very expressive. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know.
Right now, dwarves are +1 toughness, +1 intelligence. I think that's good. Might and influence are the only characters who have that.
Yeah.
But we can switch it with.
I'd say, leave it.
Okay, leave it. Let's do it.
Looks good.
You guys into it?
Unless you want to add
also,
2 more
races. It's not in stone. It's on a computer.
It's in stone. I chiseled it right now.
Did it with his left hand.
Okay, so that we've got our base skill bonuses, our base attribute bonuses. Ants are plus one might and influence. Dwarves are plus one toughness and intelligence. Bats are plus one toughness and influence. Avians are plus to dex and influence. Crocodiles are might and toughness. The Atlanteans are intelligence and influence. Orcs are might and dexterity. And humans are plus one to any. We good there? Okay.
Yeah.
So let's think about powers these guys might have. Plus so humans get an extra step.
Wait, plus one to any two or?
No. So they're going to be one stat.
I'm saying plus one to any is kind of confusing.
Well, any one stat to any one.
Well, the whole thing is also because
then you're going to be
used.
Right?
You're going to be able to use momentum to increase stats, right?
Yes, it'll be expensive, but yes.
Okay.
Maybe a scaling thing where when you want to add the fifth point, it costs
more than the fourth point. Maybe we'll see how that works out. Because also, if you're high in level and you just have a dumb stat, and you're like, meh, throw it in there.
Yeah,
have it. Maybe that won't be so good. We'll see.
Yeah, so humans just plus one to any, but I mean, you only get one plus one.
Okay. Yeah, the wording.
But that versatility is super nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's other games that do that, and it looks like a worse deal.
But it's not.
It never is.
Yeah, it works out because you tailor make your character. All right, and they get an extra step at character creation that handles an initial racial power.
Yeah.
So why don't we think of racial powers for orcs?
All right, we're going Romanesque, right?
Yeah, what if it's like a group thing?
Yeah, organization, kind of.
Yeah.
Could they be like the warlord kind of thing?
I think so, right?
Yeah, where they should be slotted or pushed slightly toward command control.
Mm-hmm. Maybe once per encounter.
I'm also thinking like general, like should there be two? Like a general once per encounter thing and also maybe a skill bonus if we're going to use skills.
Well, I think we'll do skill bonuses next.
That'll be another...
Everybody gets skill bonuses. All right. But orcs get a specific power that they can use during combat.
And that would come from them. Let's say there's like a mandatory...
Where it could even be something like form ranks where like you yell and everyone in your party gets a move.
Or everybody adjacent to you gets plus one to their defenses.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That one's pretty good.
I like that.
Okay. What was that move you used to do as your warlord?
Well, you're going to have to be more specific, Doug.
where everyone would turtle up on you, surround you.
Oh, that was a pike hedge. I would have everybody group up on me because I used a reach weapon, and anybody who entered a square that my reach could hit them, which is if you're in a square around me, it's every square around that. Anybody who entered combat with anybody around that was surrounding me, I would do my strength modifier and damage.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of a way to... Because I remember we would all huddle around you, and it would be like... This really awesome feeling of like everyone move together and then have like march through a thing was like to have
that was the reason because if your enemies know that they're going to take damage when they move in, they're going to change how they act,
and that would tie into like a phalanx feeling for the orcs, you know, just like marching forward.
We'd call it phalanx. How about that?
Or testudo.
So we'll say allies adjacent gain plus one to attacks and defense.
Yeah, because it is both.
Making the orcs like strong fighters, but also like equally strong tacticians is very interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a fun thing where they specifically are warrior minded. So if we think of them like the ancient Roman phalanx or how the Spartans were depicted in the movie 300.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not as historically sound as what we know of the Romans.
Yeah. But it's still fucking...
The idea is cool and that's what we want.
Yeah. And luckily there's no ancient Greeks or Romans to yell at us for it.
Okay. So let's move on to the Atlanteans, or the fish people, whatever we want to call them. We're thinking more along... Merfolk.
Merfolk.
They need an ability.
And not just women, because shit won't come up.
I think an actual combat ability, like we give the orcs. What do you think? Maybe something magical? Maybe like remembered past or something like that?
Echoing glory.
What would it do?
When we're thinking of these powers,
maybe it allows you to reroll an attack.
I almost think we should
underwater breathing.
Think of them in like
that's a passive thing though. I'm thinking like an actual combat power. We can give people passive bonuses in a little bit.
I'm almost thinking if we're talking about these combat abilities, we should think of them in tandem when they fight.
I'm sorry.
We put two of the races each time against each other.
Uh huh.
Connect the abilities. Make sure they're complementary or conflicting.
That's a good idea.
So we talked about orcs. Orcs get a defensive maneuver.
It's defensive and offensive.
And yeah,
yeah,
it's a tactical maneuver. So then
they were opposed to humans, but humans get, you know.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is the orc one is really versatile too. So let's see.
So what we're about doing
the merfolk. Do I think maybe the idea of like they remembering a past get, allows them to re-roll something like, oh, I remember how to do this.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That'll work.
Okay.
Sounds good.
It should be a power though and not a regular attack.
Yes. Maybe instead of re-rolling, you roll twice, use the higher result.
I like that. I love that rule. I told you about that. That's my favorite 5th edition rule. It's called advantage and I love it.
Well, there's a bunch of 4th edition, I think even 3.5 ones that allow you to do that for specific abilities. So what about the croc people? Oh, wait. I kind of like when we talked about passive bonuses. What if the merfolk get underwater breathing and maybe something else? Because underwater breathing is rarely used. But the crocodile people get +2 to speed in water.
Dope. So they're faster.
Yeah, because crocodiles are fucking crazy fast in water. So
would the Atlanteans be kind of telepathic?
That's not a bad idea.
Because they don't. Because they wouldn't be able to speak. Yeah.
Well, I think they can speak, right?
In water,
but echolocation
to each other. Yeah, they would be kind of, you know, how fish can form those giant schools.
Because they kind through, of
communicate.
Isn't that just through sight, though?
Yeah.
Okay, but I just mean.
I mean, like whales and dolphins communicate.
They do.
Would you want them screaming at each other the whole time underwater?
Maybe we just can't hear it.
It would still be. It would still have to be incredibly loud.
Yeah,
to go through that medium.
Well, also, it shouldn't be something that they can only use with other members of their same race.
Yeah.
Could that be a weapon they could use? Though, is like whale song, and people's ears would just bleed.
No, because it's not the pitch or the frequency. It would have to be the decibels, and if you're doing it to the point where someone's ears are bleeding, you're
200 decibels.
You're doing damage to your own internal organs.
Magic, Liam. There's magic.
What about the crocodile
lizard people?
Yeah, which we'll think of names and stuff for them when we do the flavor a little bit more.
Given they have an Egyptian bent, they will have...
Maybe a bite attack?
Ooh, that's nice. I like it.
What do you think, Doug?
If it's a crocodile, it's like a bite attack that bites down and you can't...
Chomp.
Open it, you know? Like, it's very difficult for one to open its mouth if it doesn't want to.
A bite grapple.
Yes, because they would do the death roll. So these people, they're going to...
Well, if you were playing a caster...
Mm-hmm.
What would you wouldn't want to bite somebody, right?
True.
Unless it's like your one defense that you have.
Because you want it to be versatile where a caster could play it. So like the Dragonborn, they have a breath weapon where you could play as either a caster or melee and it's useful.
Because like if you're playing as like a magic caster and it's like, quick, go take down the crocodile person. And they're like, got it, boss. They run over and it's like, you fucked up, chomp. It's like
that's the thing with their skin, the one move it's got. Magic or something.
Yeah, what if it's like a harden ability or like?
I want the exoskeleton thing. That's better.
Well,
but
I think that would be a passive bonus, whereas this could be still an active one. This could be an ability. Like when you get hit, you can choose.
Okay,
this to
a reaction.
Happen. Yeah.
So that someone their foes get to re-roll attacks. And you get to go like, oh, you're a good attack? Fuck you.
Or like a tail whip ability where you hit them, because your tail's like half your body length as this creature. You hit them with your tail and you could move immediately.
What about
afterwards?
A jump?
No, we are.
They do jump.
Avians
jump like
jumps.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I was thinking that could just be like a one time.
So we'll think maybe like a bite will be a passive thing where if you're grappling somebody, you can still.
You bite instead.
Yeah. And you do damage to them during your grapple. Whereas, So what do you think? Should it be a defensive ability where you take less damage or something like that, or use your tail?
I like defensive. The merfolk's thing is offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive works good against it.
Okay. So
a tail whip sounds all right, because like if you get hit and you're like, you fall to the ground, tail whip! You know, it's like just a kind of automatic reflex kind of thing.
You get on your skateboard, you perform a tail whip. Or no, that's in a bicycle, right?
Yeah.
Bicycle, yeah. You get on your BMX, you do a tail whip.
What if it's you get hit, and then you immediately, as a reaction, get to trip?
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. And that's a defensive move.
Yeah, let's do
you
that.
You get hit, you trip them, you can walk away freely afterwards.
Trip attacker and move.
Trip attack and move.
Yeah.
Or shift or whatever the fuck we're going to call it.
Yeah.
All right. Avians should have something to do with their
Leap.
Eyes.
I want to leap.
Being able to see farther or
I think,
on
I think,
the field?
I think a movement thing
okay.
would benefit them, right? So some kind of leap or...
Leap or glide.
Yeah.
Leap and glide. even if all it is they can move twice their movement speed once an encounter.
Yeah.
That could be super useful.
You're right.
That could be super useful.
We'll do that then. And what about bats?
All right. So now what would be useful against something leaping at you?
We could say a screech where it removes cover and concealment.
Mm.
Like any kind of cover somebody has. Because that's useful no matter what your class is. Yeah. If you're ranged, if you're a tank.
Same with that leap.
Yeah. If anybody's hiding, you could just do it once.
You can. I imagine it being used, a leap being used as a charge.
Yeah. Or an escape.
Or a fade. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Don't they use the screeching to stun things as well, don't they?
Stun is powerful. Stun doesn't just allow you to do a thing. It mm-hmm. removes someone, like...
I do like a screeching stun as an attack, mm-hmm. but I kind of like this one a little better because it's more universal.
Yeah,
where anybody can, I do like the idea of racial paths though, and I think there's a lot of really cool stuff you could do with all of these.
You shouldn't get a stun right off the.
Well, I mean, once per encounter stun is not bad.
Can be good though.
If it's only for one until the end of your next turn, you know.
But we're making up our own stuns stun too, right? Saying,
or dazed. It dazes
stuns are
them.
Dope.
Like dazing is different than being stunned.
Yeah.
Okay, and dwarves. So we haven't talked about how we're gonna make dwarves different.
Yeah.
And I think the Scottish things are okay, but if they're intelligent, we imagine they're tough and intelligent. I'm thinking kind of more like the Dwemer in Skyrim, where they're kind of almost mystical, where you don't really understand where the technology comes from. So what if it's like the machine cults of like Warhammer?
All right, I'm into that.
But I was also thinking, like, what if they're like corporate culture? Like
they lots of contracts and stuff.
Yeah, and they were like, you wouldn't be in a kingdom, you would be in a corporation or whatever, if you're a mine.
That's a cool idea, too.
Yeah.
I was also thinking, like, I love the dwarves in Warhammer Fantasy.
Yeah.
That are just, they're barbarians. That's it. Like, they're the barbarians of that universe.
But they're like
the mohawks and the
barbarians.
So you're talking about, like a pre-steampunk Ferengi?
That's a cool idea.
Pre-steampunk Ferengi.
Right. Like, who could physically back up their mounts.
Who maybe actually developed this, like, weird system of negotiation to keep themselves from killing each other. We're like, oh no, we have very detailed contracts, so we would stop stabbing.
You can be really bureaucratic, but that can be a strength in that sense.
Yeah, let's think of them as the bureaucrats, right? So the bureaucrats and the inventors and the outsourced labor and that kind of thing.
Well, like,
so would they have like high charisma to negotiate the fuck out of any situation?
Well, yeah, no. They're intelligent. What I have them is intelligence and toughness.
Yeah, I like them as German gunners were hired by all the armies in Europe in like the 1400s, 1500s. They would just go around. Like these could be a mercenary type people as well.
They're very inventive, but they more so just use the. They're more like technicians than like you don't want to have the gnomish culture from World of Warcraft where it's just gears everywhere.
Yeah,
and also develop tons of stuff that went nowhere and killed them.
So are they more backstabby than like a cloak and daggery than say the orcs are?
No, I wouldn't.
I think they're more like if you would think of like if you put a human, he's like, hey, listen, we need you to negotiate a contract with the dwarves. He's like, ah, shit, I really gotta study. You know, like these guys are 100% up. Like I'd imagine they're all like Foggy Nelson from Daredevil.
Yeah, and it's not that they're
Littlefinger kind of,
because that's more
subtle.
Like
Varys.
Yeah,
so they're not manipulative.
No, they're litigious. You
know. Well, there are manipulative members, but they are very
as a culture.
They respect corporate culture in the way that the Japanese or the Germans do.
Just the organization of it.
Yeah.
Like without us, if you don't have all your ducks in a row, then what's the point of you?
Right. And when they go to war, it is it is for acquisition.
And
you know,
more importantly, same with the Japanese and the Germans. When they didn't have a unified bureaucracy around them, they were terrifying. They were bloody, and they killed more of each other than they killed anyone else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kind of like that kind of a corporate culture, but very strict. In how things are going, like a high caste system, they have mages and stuff like that.
But when they let loose hard again.
Yeah.
If we're going with German and Japanese
industrial momentum behind them.
Yeah, they're the industrial culture. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Then, right. But if we have this base industrial culture, then we also need to make a very different, I think for them especially, a very different military culture. They would if they're an industrialized nation, their civilian populace and their military populace would have different goals and different structure.
Well, what if they're just fascist, where it's not so much that they have a civilian culture and a military culture. There are no civilian cultures.
What do you
show promise in? Oh, you're good with studying things. You're going to be a wizard.
Or a scribe, or a librarian or whatever it is.
Back to my Soviet.
No.
Soviet dwarves.
So that's
way more terrifying than Soviet.
So I would think like this is the culture that emerged because they had to find a way to defend against the bugs,
yes,
who are far more regimented, physically regimented than they are without even trying. They had to create a culture.
So they had to outsmart them.
Yeah.
And also, again, prone to infighting.
Yeah.
They had to remove the concept of infighting and show a united front.
Well, it's like humans. The only thing that would ever bring about world peace would be aliens that we could all join together to fight.
Right.
They finally found that common enemy that brought them all together.
So, with that in mind, what's their racial power?
It's got to be communal. It has to affect the party.
Maybe something like take one for the team or something like that, or...
I can see that, yeah. Horatio on the bridge or whatever.
Malta, when the walls fell.
Kwisatz, his army. Oh.
Tukok with his arms, or with his
Tukok?
Hand.
Tukok with his hands full.
Yeah.
Whoa, yeah, that one.
Yeah, I mean, rather
Temba,
than
his arms wide.
Yeah, Temba, that's it. But I'm thinking of something that affects the party that is a net positive organizationally, like the orcs, but not less straightforward.
What if he like could take a hit for an adjacent member? Or something?
No, well, the whole thing is, but then the whole thing is that's specific to a
warrior.
Someone who has hit points to spare. If you're a thief, or if you're a mage, no,
yeah.
that's gonna bone you more, and it's gonna help you.
So they're organizational.
I would think it would be imparting a bonus to a party member. They see none of its benefits, but their party member does, and they get to choose.
What if it's like an analysis thing? Where they like just see, you know, almost like that.
That's a good idea.
Oh, intelligence.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Deconstruction.
They can see the field of battle.
Maybe like a reroll on an intelligence check of some kind.
Well, I'd imagine like a straight combat bonus, right? So
yeah.
Maybe a reroll on anything. But that's what the merfolk do.
Yeah.
So we're focusing on like what a combat bonus would be right now.
Or just it's a power they can use in combat that will help them.
And also the more abilities that include their every character's party members base in races, mm-hmm. I think the better off we are on a role playing.
Teamwork
yeah. building kind of situation, because I don't want an infighting role-playing game ever again. I'm tired.
So
tired of that shit.
Let's say they analyze the battlefield or whatever is going on and they can impart a bonus to someone.
Something good. Something solid.
Could it be like, could you pin a weakness onto
once an encounter you grant against a single target, if anyone can get to him, they get an extra attack.
Hmm.
Sort of like
that could be super. Well, the whole thing is that could be super good. That's probably too good.
What if you're like
that's too good? But
you go up and you'd be like, oh, that guy back there.
You were like, I figured that guy out. Fuck that guy.
He's putting all his weight on his left leg. You know, kind of pin a weakness onto him that someone else could exploit.
That's okay.
I love these dwarves though.
I was thinking like something like maybe you've got a special gadget tied to your arm.
No.
And then you throw it and it heals people and any enemies caught in it get hurt.
That's,
I mean, mechanically that's sound, but it's not flavorful.
Yeah.
Well, also not for a whole race. You can't just have a whole race has this thing, you know?
Well, you could. I mean, if they're all mechanically inclined.
But then there would be outliers. It seems too shoehorny.
Yeah.
It's too specific.
Yeah, what about the dwarf who wants to be a dentist?
He'd know how to use a gadget.
Yeah, I'd play that.
He's also not an adventurer.
But what if he is?
I like the marking ability, but...
Yeah, like if they're well-studied of their enemies, you know.
Maybe like reveal weakness or something like that.
Yeah,
like
that.
The next ally, including yourself, to attack the target does an extra weapon damage.
Ooh, okay, I thought he was going to say plus one. For one creature, one turn, that isn't going to be enough. Mm-hmm. But the idea that you can pick your guy with the most weapon damage and the fact that you can use it strategically or throw it away,
right,
is good. That it would be useful. Like, at worst, it's useful. At best, it's clinch.
Now, I think, now if we're doing a spell, that wouldn't count as weapon damage, right? This wouldn't affect spells.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe we say an extra die, 10 of damage.
Yeah.
So that way, it would affect spells.
And so I also kind of like that because it's because especially if we're talking about a fascist or pseudo communist, it levels the playing field.
Yeah.
Anyone who gets attacked gets to use that D10.
Just for nice. for the company, it just doesn't matter. Somebody.
Oh, so would you pick the ally who gets to use it, or should it be someone who's adjacent to you?
Literally the next person to hit him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the next person that hits him does an extra die 10, because then it doesn't matter who it is.
Yep.
They get that extra damage.
So whoever successfully hits it.
Yes. All right, ants.
All right.
They need an ability.
Acid.
No. Ants do use acid.
But that's a path. That's too good.
Not really. I mean, dragon breath. You can have acid dragon breath as a dragonborn.
Regrow a limb? It's like a second wind?
I'm thinking defensive. The dwarven one is very attacky.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think of something defensive.
Oh, like a harden.
Yeah, I think a harden wouldn't work. Yeah.
Yeah. Reduce damage by
half.
You take half damage?
Take half damage.
Yeah.
But if they were both
attack, that sounds like an awful battle.
But it's all that. But the whole thing is, I like that too, because it's one of those things where, like, in a regular encounter, that's useful. In a hard encounter, that's a godsend.
Yeah, specifically like if you get crit or something,
and you're just like, fuck that.
Okay, so now we need to think of passive bonuses for each of these people.
Humans is when we get to talk about them, right?
Yeah, we can talk about humans for passive bonuses.
We've been doing a lot of versatility with them. Do you want to keep that role going?
We need to figure out skills next episode.
That's a huge conversation.
We need to figure out how skills work, and I think we need to, each paths we'll do one, but we'll give the humans an extra bonus. We'll figure out. Once we figure out how skills work, we'll give humans something. Extra step of character creation. Okay, so what's a human's passive bonus? I think maybe +1 to all defenses. That's what it is in D&D.
Oh, dude, yeah, dope. No, that works. Resilient. They're just resilient.
Hard to kill. All of them.
Orcs.
Well, the whole thing is that, and that can be represented as they have no inherent weaknesses.
For humans, if they're, like, harder to kill, well, they could get, like, 2 chances for saving throws or something along those lines.
The idea of having +1 to all defenses is if something else gets a bonus,
mm-hmm.
and probably a couple things will get bonuses to defenses, they don't really have a bonus, they just don't have a weakness. Positive instead of having a negative.
And I was thinking, instead of saving throws being on the player or being on the target, it should be on the caster. So, like, if I poison you,
yeah,
when it comes to my turn, I should roll to see if you're still poisoned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that way, if you've made a particularly good poison, you're more likely to keep that person poisoned or something like that.
Maybe, but why would, like, if you're in a battle and you poison multiple people, how come even though the poison's from the same vial, how come it's more potent on that guy than the other guy?
It would affect different people.
I don't know, but I think maybe, like, it gives them a chance to defend against it each time. I mean, in reality, poison works nothing like it does in D&D.
No.
Anyway, you know what I mean?
It'd be very difficult to make rules for it.
You give people cyanide, they die instantly. Like, there's no instant poison in D&D.
We could make one.
It's true.
I mean, I guess, but then you also, one, you have to make it, which is iocane not powder. Easy. And you have to make it in a pure enough form to know it'll work. You have to test it. And at any point...
Also, there's so many different races, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't really...
Oh, someone was... I was actually talking to someone about recently... And they were talking about how the fact that War of the Worlds kind of ends like bullshit.
Yeah, it does.
And they're like, because there's no way microorganisms or diseases would be calibrated to an alien race at all. They would just be like, we don't know what that is.
Well, I mean, it may happen. There may be one specific microorganism that would kill them in the same way that if we went to an alien planet.
But it wouldn't spread like fucking wildfire.
It may, but we wouldn't go to a planet without spacesuits. Why did they? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But it was a good twist ending.
Yeah.
So orc passive bonus.
My favorite orc passive bonus always is they fight when they're dead.
I think that's more of a barbarian type thing.
Barbarian thing. I just love when orcs do that. You're like, die with your boots on. Fuck it.
Let's think more Roman. Like, they're more civilized. What were they?
They're not civilized. The whole thing is they're ordered, not civilized.
Well, you know what would be crazy, but not that useful, would be if you die, like if you're going to die, the nearest target dies with you.
That would also be incredibly overpowered.
Yeah, you would just, if you're facing, like if you wanted to take one for the team against a Tarrasque, you know, you just send the orc out alone.
Within reason, like it, or you just do a set amount of damage, you know, like.
What about something completely different, like lore knowledge or something?
No.
The knowledge of their ancestors.
What if you just,
Or you just do max damage, maybe? You just do max damage to the nearest target?
What if it's, when orcs are half health or less, it's like they muscle up their mustard and they deal 2 extra damage every attack.
That's big. That's
then you'd want to get it.
That's not that big.
That
sounds big.
Doubling damage
plus 2.
Oh, plus 2. Okay.
Plus 2 points of damage.
Okay, that's not how I heard it. Plus 2. Yeah. That could work. No, that's good.
What do you guys think?
Yeah. Also that's a fun game mechanic of trying to keep your melee guys at half health all the time. Running that line.
Let's see.
I like that.
But that would that encourage them to like run headfirst into battle like a tank when they could be more of a tactician type of person, you know?
Or to benefit when they get hurt to blast things away. Or maybe, it works both ways.
Maybe instead of damage, plus 1 hit?
That's probably better.
What do you think? Because I imagine the
when you're
crocodiles
hurt more, do you have
more
a better chance of hitting something? Is it, but that's just they have like a rage ability or something?
Just desperation.
Idea that, that the training is kicking in, you know? Mm.
So it's plus 1 damage, 1 bloody.
No, plus 1 to hit. Sorry.
Okay.
So if you're hurt,
and I say bloody because that's the 4th edition term, but we'll say, you know, half health or lower. Yeah. Okay, so the merfolk, they have underwater breathing, but that's pretty light.
That's useful in the
very
most
specific situations
let's
give the orcs a flavor passive, you know.
They motherfuckers like trees, right?
Yeah, sure.
Just a bonus to climbing trees.
Plus to climb?
Bonus to climbing could be something.
Their upper body is strong enough that the rest of their body weight just doesn't fucking matter.
Okay, bonus to climb. All right, so what is the merfolk's kind of combat passive like that?
And these should be individual. These should be specific.
Yes.
They
don't have to be great. They just have to be interesting.
Memory loss. Kind of Greek, kind of classic.
What about a bonus to your character action?
I like it.
Something like that.
What's something like that? What would that be?
Screw it.
That's a good question.
You're reduced to half health. You get an extra character action.
Character action. What if it's, because that's a little over the top. What if it's like
I don't know how useful are the character actions.
Well, you can intimidate. You can. Get an extra action, but what if you get plus 1 to you do?
That seems less good than plus 1 to hit at half health. That does not seem equal to me.
To get a plus 1 on every character action you take forever.
Combat actions are going to be more useful than character actions.
Yeah,
in general,
more charisma for something.
What? I'm saying.
What can you
get?
Do,
you get
you
reduced to half. You get reduced to half health. You get 2 character actions the next turn.
So here's
boom.
The things you can do during a character action. You can intimidate. You can try diplomacy.
Insult to goat.
Yeah, to goad. Yeah. No, you insult a goat.
Yeah, you insult a goat.
That joke was bad.
Fuck you.
Stop kidding around.
If anyone says one more fucking goat pun.
So
Go fuck yourself.
Intimidate, diplomacy, things that you'd roll for.
Boast. Yeah.
Persuade. Well, I guess it's diplomacy, right?
I mean, those are useful. They're situationally useful.
Convince, you know.
The idea of
bluff.
Being,
bluff. You
the
can
idea,
bluff.
Or even not even half health. They just wants an encounter. Can use 2 a turn.
I don't know. The 2 a turn. Okay, that sounds way weaker, actually. Once an encounter, they can use 2 character actions. I think maybe just a passive bonus to character actions, period.
Oh, just all of them? They don't even need a situation? Okay, that works.
Well, no, it's in combat, it's a character action. Outside of combat, it's just whatever.
It's a role.
But in combat, if you're doing a character action, you get a plus 1, period.
Yeah.
Or
that'll work.
Or do you roll twice and pick the higher result?
That's
you could, but that's
strong.
But that's an ability, right? Like,
that's
something you want to spend.
That's strong.
Yeah,
and that's what their other thing is that they before they do an attack they can roll twice and use the higher result.
Hmm.
So we'll do plus 1 to character actions. All right, the croc.
Can't wait till we playtest this and find out one of these things is horribly broken.
Right.
Well, that's the point, right?
I know.
So we're lucky, one of them.
We gave them +2 to speed while swimming, which is really good if you're in water. But when you're not in water, not too good. So we can give them kind of a medium thing for passive combat. Maybe +1.
Did we talk about that bite grapple?
Yeah, grapple bite.
Yeah.
Grapple bite.
Deal damage while grappling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that means you're biting them while you're grappling them is the idea behind that?
Yeah. Be like called lockjaw or something.
Yeah.
I almost want to give them one that's like, because the humans get +1 to all defenses. I almost want to give the orcs like, we need to figure out what the defenses are, but I want to give everybody like a kind of bonus to the defenses, but humans get +1 to all. Okay. Our avian race. They are a flightless bird. They have light bones.
Passive combat. They have a bitchin' move. A bitchin' move.
Yeah.
So let's not go move again. Can't be like a parry. That's too good.
I kind of like the idea. Remember the goblin passive?
Oh, where they just can shift?
Yeah, where if somebody misses you, you shift.
Done. Sold.
Yeah, because that works. They're like, we call it like light on your feet.
Yeah.
All right, our bat people, which are vampire flavored. What's their passive?
All right, what's, you said you might want to make them immortal?
In the same sense of elves, yeah.
I mean ageless?
Regain health when you kill an enemy.
That's if you drop an enemy to 0 hit points or fewer, you gain HP. You gain like
yeah,
5
that's
HP.
Pretty good. Like if you're the one to, if you're the one to deal a killing
plus
stroke.
Something.
Yeah, it's like vampiric heritage or something. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
That's a little scary. Just has one guy going through the battlefield like, you're dead,
I like that.
I like that a lot. You could build a character around that ability, or you could be a mage and then blast the lowest health guy, praying that you'll last long enough to gain those bonus HP to just last long.
Your party could even help, like, get the guy down to 1 and then back
up. Yeah,
bring him to you. That would be fucking crazy if it's just bring me the weakest guy, and then you, like, you just shove him, you know, towards him.
Let's see. Okay, now dwarves, what's their passive?
I want something just straight tough. Just straight, they don't give a shit, head down, muscle through, kind of British industrial.
Okay.
I think they should be able to smell everything.
What?
I want them to be. I smell bullshit. Like if there's a deal, like a bad deal.
I think that idea, but that's not a combat passive.
Yeah,
right.
We'll talk about that more when we get more into the world building. But what about
Well,
I want something where like a regular. What would regularly? Maybe they just ignore difficult terrain, or just something is supposed to happen. And it's supposed to be a negative effect, and they're like, "No,
that's cool."
They just plow through.
In D&D, they take no bonus to movement from wearing heavy armor.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Which is dope.
But they also move 1 less speed. Maybe we should remove that. I think they should be able to move.
Full speed. Yeah, they're fine.
Could like, melee like backlash against like if you try to punch a dwarf? You would have a chance of breaking your hand.
I do like the idea that you can't, if you get shoved, forced movement is 1 less, always.
Always.
For dwarves.
Yeah, but that's still.
Maybe they can't get shoved by the enemy.
Well, that would be more like a power. If you could just say no, like I'm not getting.
I'm not going to be moved.
Yeah, then that would be a power you'd use.
A passive power. I like that.
No, that would be an active power. That would be something you spend. Like if he's going to move you 6 squares and you're like, no.
Don't we do that? Oh, yeah, right.
He does the extra do D10. Yeah.
Why isn't that? Do you think that's too powerful to be a passive power that you just can't be shoved by the enemy?
Yeah, because I'm sure there'll be enemies that can like pick you up and shove you like 6 feet into a wall.
Or maybe they shove you half.
That's okay, but if they shove you 1, you don't get shoved at all.
Yeah,
or round it up. I guess I don't know.
I like the idea of ignoring terrain.
Difficult terrain.
Because they would just literally ignore it, no matter what it was. They just
go. Yeah.
But wait, now difficult terrain could also be vertical, and for a dwarf to ignore vertical terrain is like...
difficult terrain,
in the D&D sense, is not vertical. Yeah. It's like rubble and stuff like that.
But I'm saying it could be. Like, I mean, wouldn't it, you know?
No.
Vertical is always treated as a climb.
But like rocks and boulders and shit, they just ignore it?
They just muscle through.
That's not an ability they have, but we could talk about that.
I just don't see any situation where the terrain is too difficult for a full-fledged human, but the dwarf has no problem with it.
Yeah.
It's not a physical thing. It is a literal, they don't care. They just muscle through.
What if it's something related to them being underground?
I mean, dark vision,
they put their ear to the ground and they hear everything?
That's racist.
What are we talking about?
Racist against who?
That's a very, very large Native American like stereotype.
I've never heard that.
Really?
Yeah, I've always
heard it American all the
time. I've seen it in tons of like westerns and stuff.
I've seen cowboys
like,
do it all the time.
Yeah, cowboys
yeah.
like oh, I hear a train. You know,
no, it's
a stampede's coming.
That's a Native American stereotype.
Oh well,
I never heard that attributed to Indians like that.
Whoa,
so.
Doug, Native Americans.
No, we're talking about people from India.
Oh yeah, well, I had curry chicken for dinner.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't eat dinner. Combat passive. I'm just saying, yeah, in combat, they ignore difficult terrain.
That's not bad, but it's very rare. Like, difficult terrain is more rare than you'd expect.
Yeah.
Like, shifting when somebody misses you with an attack or gaining HP when you kill an
yeah,
enemy,
that's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's
going to happen
often.
Every encounter.
Deal damage while grappling. That's not really, but we can
it's
deal
dope.
With
it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It can make you want to grapple more. In situations where, mm-hmm. like...
While grappling or grappled.
Yeah.
How about that?
That works, too.
I just love the idea of, like, a crocodile priest, like, biting the shit out of him.
When you said crocodile priest, the first thing I thought of was just voodoo. Like, some...
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I don't... No. I immediately think of...
Egyptian.
Yeah.
Okay. Dwarves are industrious. They can build things.
Corporate-minded.
Yeah.
But this is something personal. It has to be their own use. Promotion.
Maybe the idea that they're tenacious. So when they miss, their next attack gets a plus one.
Every time?
If for instance, if on your turn you miss,
okay, that can
your next attack gets a plus one to hit.
Okay, yeah.
The only thing is, that sounds amazing to me, but I think in practice that's going to be way more balanced than I expect.
Yeah, well, probably, because you usually hit.
Because, one, you're gonna hit more
would
often
it,
than not.
Okay, would it be crazy? This might be too overpowered, but would it be crazy if you get... So if you miss, you get plus one to hit, and it stacks?
Yes. As soon as you stack, yes.
So it's like, oh, I missed, plus one. I missed again, fuck! I missed again, fuck you! Like, completely going...
Well, I mean,
I guess...
What,
you know what, Doug? I think I like that, because the idea is that... You miss, and if you miss three times in a row and you're like, okay, I get a plus three on this one.
That's not that big of a deal because you
like,
missed three
yeah,
times.
And you're like, I'm going to do my daily,
yeah.
like this next one. And if you think of like a combat
mad,
where
yeah.
somebody has like a special move, it's like, fuck it, switch into the special move, you know?
Yeah, and that doesn't add more damage, just, you know, to hit.
Yeah.
Also, that can be used in a really interesting way where if you build a character where there's one attack that is really good, that has a lower chance to hit,
mm-hmm.
and then you do miss three times in a row, you're like, now is the fucking time.
Yeah, you could
it can be
again.
Very it
but
can
then
be
again,
useful.
I mean, it would be better to just
that,
hit
that's,
all
yeah.
three times.
But that situation, but the whole thing is that situation would need to present itself, and then you have a backup plan.
That one's good. I like that.
Yeah.
It's,
I like
it's
that.
Balanced.
Yeah.
Is there a way to talk yourself out of combat?
Like diplomacy? With
yeah,
a character action,
kind of
yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Because I would say, like, we could do, like, they would have corporate treaties.
Like a passive. Like,
nah, but the whole thing
I
is that's...
I think, like, out of combat bonuses will do
yeah, I'm not talking
episode.
About this one. I'm just talking about, and in general, they could have, like, treaties with other races and stuff.
I like that idea. All right. Last race, the ants.
Ooh.
All right.
What's their passive
so
combat
already,
bonus?
We already have a defensive one.
Immune to poison?
No, we have a plus one to hit.
They have a plus one to hit?
No. Oh, you mean take half damage?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think the ants more so than the dwarves could ignore rough terrain.
I already talked about this. When anything that you need a hand free for, you have one.
So you can pick stuff up,
you can dual wield, you can use a two-handed weapon and you still have hands free to do other things. So but you can only wield two weapons at once. You know, or you can only use one two-handed weapon or
your two main hands are considered need for weapon wielding.
Yeah. So it like for instance, if you grapple somebody, you still have your hands free to do other things.
Or I even think we should make if there's a spell that requires your hands to cast it, but then you need to sustain it, your shitty little hand can sustain things while you also cast it. Where like stuff like Mage Light or spells like that, where you're like you can still do that.
We'll just say if you need a hand free,
for a minor thing.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what will it? Any activity where you need a hand free, you have one.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Because if you're using a two-handed attack, you don't need a hand free for that.
No.
But if you grapple somebody and then you need to do an attack and you need to have a hand free to do it, you've got one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just imagining an ant with a bow.
Ooh, faster reload because you have an extra pair of arms.
That are already reloading as you're firing.
The ant archer.
Yeah, I say you have a hand free for abilities that require one, even if your two main hands are full. That's really good.
Yes.
Well, like, because if you wanted to cast a spell, you would have to, like, you can't be holding a shield and a sword to cast a spell.
Unless you're otherwise described able to in certain situations.
Exactly,
really, using this time implement. You're like, nope.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool.
Little mage hand.
Well, or just like could grab a talisman from your own neck and just rub it and do whatever it needs to do.
All right, guys, thank you very much. This is all we can cover for today. We covered what races we're going to have in our base handbook. We haven't really gotten into the flavor of them too much, but we've got a good idea. We're going to use humans, which are kind of baseline humans. We could talk about location, but I think they should be the most versatile out of everybody. I think we all agree there. Orcs, which are much closer to Romans, but at the beginning of Roman organization.
Republican, yeah.
Yeah. Our water races are the merfolk, which are kind of like Abe Sapien magicians who don't remember where their home country is. Crocodile people who are like the ancient Egyptians in style, which is kind of similar to the Set myth, right?
Yeah.
Set was the lord of crocodiles and snakes. And for the air, we've got our avian race, which we need to flavor. We haven't flavored them yet in the sense of like what kind of birds and stuff they are, how they look. And the bat people, which are kind of taking after the vampire, the tropes that we've got for vampires, but they're biologically immortal. They're ageless, but they are not magically so. And underground races, we've got our dwarves, which are much more bureaucratic and... Soviet, I guess, except for
more of a corporate Soviet.
Yeah, more corporate Soviet, modern day Japan corporate structure, yeah. or Korean chaebol. And our ant race, which we haven't talked at all about how they're organized,
but we're gonna have
a lot of fun with that next time. Thank you everybody for joining us on RPG from Scratch. I've been your host Josh LaForge, and I'd like to thank my group today: Liam Malone,
gotcha,
Max Wessel,
Homebrew Hombres,
and Doug Banks.
Later.
Everyone take care. Thank you, everyone, for listening to RPG from Scratch, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream us from Google Play. I've been your host, Josh LaForge, and I'd like to thank my Homebrew Hombres, Doug Banks, Liam Malone, and Max Wessel. Now remember, as listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and RPG from Scratch on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.